Morning, Grace Christian Church family. We're so glad you're with us this morning. This is Memorial Day weekend, 2021, and I just want to say before I start the message today, I'm very thankful for everyone who served this country in all the capacities and all the families that lost loved ones over the years. So I'm very thankful for that. So this morning I'm going to preach a message, and the title of that message is called Living Life to the Fullest. Living life to the fullest. And before I even say that, I should mention, my name is Rob Parlante. I'm the pastor here at Grace Christian Church. So I should have said that before. But the title of my message is Living Life to the Fullest. And we're going to look at one verse today, just one, actually part of a verse. Philippians 1, 21, okay, the first part, which says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. We'll look at that. But, you know, I think everybody really desires this idea of living life to the fullest. And many over the years have tried different ways to do that. And we're going to look at what the scripture says and what Paul says in that one verse from a spiritual perspective. Because, brothers and sisters, when we believe in Christ, we have a life that's full. Amen. But before we get to that, I want to mention a couple things, a couple of announcements that, every week, I post my sermon notes on njgrace.org. So go there. That's our website. And you can check that every week. And also on our Facebook page, Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County. Please go there and look up those notes. And I want to mention a couple other things. We have a prayer meeting, a Zoom prayer meeting, every Wednesday, 7:30 East Coast time. And we'd love for you to join us. And we will pray for your needs. And things of how God's working, like we'll pray for you. And also, we have a group in Facebook called Christ is Our Life Movement, which is a group which we post daily posts about God's grace, our identity in Christ, our identification with Christ, the new covenant. And I encourage you to join that and share it with others who are interested in learning about grace. Amen. Amen. So this quote, living life to the fullest, you know, many of us want, you know, the joys and excitements and fulfillments and pleasures of life and the lights of life. And I said, you know, let's look at some other people's perspectives through the course of the last couple, you know, maybe 100 years or so, how they viewed that quote or how they viewed that verse and what they thought about it. So I said to myself, you know, let's look at their view, some famous people. And I decided to look at one, the first one would be Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, Eleanor Roosevelt was the first lady back in the 30s and 40s and wife of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. And she said this about that quote. She said, the purpose of life, after all, is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly and without fear, for newer and richer experience. So her view here is to live it, taste it, and reach out for it without fear. That's how she said you live life to the fullest. That's her view. You know, Pope Paul VI, he was a pope in the 70s, said this about that quote. Somebody should tell us right at the start of our lives that we are dying. Then we might live life to the limit. Every minute of every day, do it, I say. Whatever you want to do, do it now. There are only so many tomorrows. So he said, live life to the limit. Do what you want now, do it now. That was his view in living life to the fullest. Then there was a poet back in the 1800s, Ralph Waldo Emerson. He said this, all life is an experiment. The more experiments you make, the better. He said, the more we experiment and do things, that's living life to the fullest. Then there's an unknown quote. Leave off with this, and then we'll continue. The unknown person, anonymous person says, life is a game, play it. Life is a challenge, meet it. Life is an opportunity, capture it. So this person's view was play it, meet it, and capture it, brothers and sisters. And All the thread that runs through all those quotes and many others that are very similar is us as a person, as a human being, reaching out, doing something, trying to achieve something, experiencing something, tasting something, you know, reaching out without fear, the fulfillment of life. Now, sometimes it's empty and sometimes it's fleeting, but there's temporary fulfillment. But brothers and sisters, there's a better way. So as a Christian, I want to ask this question. How do we live life to the full? Should we fear, you know, the unknown? You know, sometimes we don't experience fulfillment in life because we're stuck in our comfort zones and ways, you know, in our old thinking. Sometimes we don't experience life because we're ignorant that life can be full, live to the fullest. And sometimes we just don't know the choices to make to live a fulfilling life. But as a Christian, brothers and sisters, there's a simple fact. When we believe the gospel message, when we believe Christ died and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins, that guarantees us to live a life to the fullest. That's what I want to unpack today. That's an exciting life. That's a victorious life. That's an abundant life. All guaranteed by belief in Christ, in his death, burial, and resurrection, and him indwelling us, brothers and sisters. Now, you might say, well, you know what? My life is still mundane and kind of routine, but I want to ask you, is Christ mundane and routine? Well, he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That is true. But you know what? When we believe in him, and when we look at this, when we rest in him, when we trust in him, when we depend on him, when we let him work in our life is lived to the fullest, amen? And the way he does that is limitless. Because Christ is infinite. The infinite God of the universe, we believe, lives inside of us, brothers and sisters, and how he works in our lives and expresses himself through us is also infinite because he is infinite. Amen. We have victory to live a full life because of him. 1 Corinthians 15, 56 to 57 says this about victory. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory, amen, through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, without Christ, men are spiritually dead. That's the sting of death. Separation. Self-trust. No guidance. No peace. No joy. That's the sting of death, brothers and sisters. And he also says the power of sin is the law. Without Christ, man is in held bondage to the power of sin, which is aroused by the law. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, just a sec, about the law. You know, the purpose of the law is to define and point out sin. The purpose of the law in a believer's life is to lead him to faith in Jesus Christ for righteousness. Romans 7:5 says, while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit to death. Something interesting. You know, as a Christian, many, many preachers from the pulpit every week preach a message about trying to keep the law, in a sense, after being saved. What is Paul saying in that verse? Well, you know what? The law arouses sinful passions. So when we preach and teach to keep the law as a believer, we're actually arousing more sin. Which doesn't make sense, does it, brothers and sisters? There's a better way, that is life in Christ. But that's the point. That's the point. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are no longer under law, but under grace. Okay? And fulfillment of life is guaranteed because we have belief in Jesus Christ. Now the rest of this message, I'm going to teach you how. Steps how to live that life. And that is believing the verse Paul penned in Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. When we believe that and we engage in that, we have a life full. Amen? A life full of victory and abundance, and we live life to the fullest. But, you know, just believing that is one thing, but how we engage and we enter into that is another thing. So I want to look at that. There's three steps to enter in and to engage in that to live life to the fullest. And these are the 3 points of my message today, and three steps into that, and experiencing that is, that is this: offering ourselves to Christ is point one, depending on Christ, and then the third point is, step is the overflow of Christ. Now, I'm going to take this verse and read it. If you have a Bible, you can even go there. Philippians 1:21, the first part. And this is it in the NAS version. Very small, short verse. For to me to live is Christ. Now, I'm going to open us in prayer, and then we're going to start this message. Let's bow our heads. Thank you so much, Lord, for the scriptures and Paul penning this wonderful verse. He says, for to me to live is Christ. It is my prayer, Lord, as you speak through my lips today, to those hearing me today, through Zoom, through Facebook, through a future YouTube, through a message down the road, that they would understand completely, 100%, just giving their lives over to you is the way to live a fulfilling life. And to say to themselves, for to me to live is you, Christ. Thank you for this time. Speak through my lips, Lord, to those hearers of this message. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So before I start, I want to tell you what for to me to live is Christ is not. Let's start with what it is not. Because there's a lot of, let's say, poor teaching in Christian circles over the years and traditions in Christian circles over the years that kind of throw us off and kind of divert us. So I want to point out there's three things it's not. It is not this. First, it is not serving Christ from self. For me to live is Christ is not living or serving Christ from self. It's not serving him from my own resource. Now, I know for experience how this works because I fell into that trap. I got saved in my mid-20s. I was into a wonderful church where we had 60, 70, 80 folks worshiping every week. Great worship, great preaching, great fellowship, great Bible study, great everything. What a great church, you know, back in the 90s. But I remember being saved about a year, and I remember somebody, a leadership leader in the church said to me, you know, since Christ died for you, now you have to serve him. In other words, what he did for you, now I have to do for him. And I had to serve him. And I remember them saying, we have an opening in the children's ministry. Would you, you know, we want you to teach the children. I think it was boys, 5 to 10, whatever it was, at that church. And I remember, okay, I will do it. But, you know, I didn't know anything at the time, very little scripture. And I said, okay, I will do it because I felt really guilted into serving. But what I was doing there was I was serving from self. In other words, that was a dead service, okay? I serve from my own resources, and the question really is not about serving God. No, we know we need to serve and serve in a way other Christians, but the question always becomes, are we serving from him or from our own resource? I was serving from my own resources in that capacity at that time, and it was really this. It was really me doing this. For me to live is me. For me to live is me, not for me to live is Christ. Amen. And you know what? I deceptively thought I was living for him, and I wasn't. I was living for me, trying to serve him in my own resource, brothers and sisters. There's a difference. There is a big difference when we do that, okay? Who's the source, you or God? You know what? Serving Christ himself is not for me to live as Christ. Christ and the Spirit should be the source. And I found a verse, wonderful verse here. Romans 1:9 says this, how Paul says he served God in the Spirit. He says, for God, whom I served in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I made mention of you. In other words, Paul is saying he served in the Spirit. You know what? He served with Christ as his source. He served with the Spirit as his source. That is truly a fruitful way to serve God. Amen. And not a dead work or a dead service. Amen. So for me to live as Christ is not serving from myself and my own abilities. I'll make that clear right up front. It's also this. It's not trying to be Christ-like. Now, listen now. Very important. It's not trying in your own self to be Christ-like. I remember back in the 90s, I got saved in 1990. I remember going through the 90s, and I remember this something, I forget what year, but this bracelet started being available and necklaces that said WWJD. Remember that, Christians? What would Jesus do? Was the bracelet necklace people were wearing. And what that was people thinking about their lives, thinking about their behavior and saying, what would Jesus do in this particular instance? And what we were doing there with that idea was comparing ourselves to Jesus, okay? Now, as a Christian, we're saved. As a Christian, we have new life in Christ. As a Christian, we are no longer a sinner, but a saint, amen? But we have sin and sinful behaviors. So when we took that bracelet and that idea, what WWJD, and we compared ourselves to Christ, we would never, ever measure up to Christ, amen? Because Christ is sinless, amen? The sinless sacrifice, amen? So what that created was, back in those days, and I fell into this trap too, me comparing myself to Christ and saying I can never measure up, okay? And that was like a Christian law, and that was like trying to stop something and changing external behavior, not looking at the inside of why we sinned or why I sinned. So WWJD might point out a sin, but it doesn't give you the solution how to overcome a sin, amen? Okay? It's like a tool. It was like a tool to point out sinful behavior, but it didn't give you the tools and the way to overcome the sinful behavior, brothers and sisters. Because you know what? We don't try to become Christ-like. Christ transforms us from the inside out by the renewing of the mind, okay? By our mind, will, and emotions lining up to His, by us understanding the truths about who we are, about us understanding why. You know what? Counseling is wonderful. Christian counseling is wonderful, but the ultimate counselor, brothers and sisters, is Christ. The Spirit speaks to our spirit. You know, when we ask God, why are we doing these certain behaviors that are sinful? He will say, son, daughter, the reason you do it is you don't believe in this or that about yourself, about what I say about you, or about me, God, okay, or about Christ, and you're not trusting me in that promise or what I say. That's what it comes down to. But you know what? Philippians 1:6 says, for I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. You know what? We're being perfected. We're being worked on. He began a good work in us. We're being conformed to his image, but it's from the inside out. Amen. So for me to live is Christ is not me trying to become Christ-like by some external way, external behavior, by keeping a law or by keeping a Christian rule. No, it's not. It's by faith and trust and dependence and renewing of the mind that changes us from the inside out. Amen. For me to live as Christ is not attempting to become Christ-like. Amen. And then thirdly, it is not Christ helping me in my self-effort or helping me in my fleshly decisions. So many times, brothers and sisters, you know what you say? I have an idea. I'm going to do this for Christ. I'm going to do that for Christ. And then we make a decision and we go that route. And then we say, God, bless my efforts. God, please help me in achieving this. Or help me in my life do this. Or help me in my life do that. And what Christ is saying is, no, I'm not going to help your flesh. I'm not going to help your self-decisions because if it worked, you wouldn't need me to depend on, brothers and sisters. So for me to live as Christ is not me, Christ, helping me in my own self or my own fleshly decisions. Amen? It's not. It's not. It's this. Instead, you know, James 4:15, God's Word version. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and carry out our plans. You know, it's His will and Him working in us and through us. It's not our effort. It's His effort in us and through us. Amen. So you know what? It is not for me to live as Christ. It's not living for one's self-effort. It's not trying to conform myself to be Christ-like. And it's not serving in my own capacity. No, it's none of those things. So what is it? How does a Christian live life to the fullest? And what does Paul mean when he says, for me to live is Christ? Here's my step. Step one. It's this. Point one. Offering myself or offering oneself to Christ. It starts with that. so important, so critical, so key, so spiritually attacked by the evil one, because he doesn't want us to walk first. But it comes starts with that. You know what? Romans 6:13. Now I'm reading from the Holman version. Says this: and do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God, all the parts of yourself to God as weapons for righteousness. That word offer is also translated present, or yield, or give yourself to. So what is Paul saying in Romans 6? When we offer ourselves to him, we should offer ourselves to him as alive from the dead, as a weapon, another version say tool, of righteousness. It starts with offering, yielding, and giving oneself to God. It starts with that. As a saved person, now we're talking already saved, there's a choice to offer ourselves to God or to things that are not of God or not to God. Amen? You know, we must first offer ourselves to him. You know what? It's saying this: I give myself to you to be used. I give up control of my life, God. I give all my whole life to you to be used, taught, and molded by you. I give control of my life to you. I'm alive from the dead. Do what you want in me and through me. Wow. Wow. Have you ever said that in a prayer to God? Have you ever offered yourself to him to be used as alive from the dead? Has your life come to a point where you said, no, I can't manage my life anymore? I offer myself to you. Brothers and sisters, that's basically the step to fulfillment in an abundant and victorious life. Is that? Because if we don't, we're offering ourselves to something else other than God. Amen. And that is a rabbit trail the evil one wants us to take. Because when we do that, and we offer ourselves to other things, unrighteous things, things of the world, that's saying, for to me to live is me, not for me to me live is Christ. You see that? You know what? It's either about Christ or it's about me, myself, and I. That's it, right? Godly joys, excitements, fulfillments, and pleasures and delights all start with offering oneself to God. And that is this: letting go. Letting go and then letting God. You know, as I got to tell you, I got saved 31 years ago I was saved. And I spent 10 years of my Christian life, really, I would say, working under this idea, for me to live is me. Okay? It was all about my church, my career, my family, and there's nothing wrong with that, my family, my kids, my 401k, my intellect, my degrees. It was all about me, brothers and sisters. You know what? Everything about my desires and my plans and my life, but it all came crashing down this one year, 1999, where I said, I cannot run my life anymore trying to do all these things. And I remember crying out to God and saying, God, I can't do it. I offer myself to you. Okay. Now, he let me try for almost 9 years of my Christian life to try to do it. So I realized I could not do it. But when I offered myself to him, I felt at peace. I felt a contentment. And I felt like now I could take a weight lifted off my shoulders. Okay. Where now my life changed from me trying to manage everything, from now me just offering and trusting in him to run my life. Brothers and sisters, that is an important thing. I cried out, do what you want with me. I'm giving my life to you. This is not for being salvation. This is running my life. This is trying to manage my life. This is what I did back in 1999. And that was a big decision. You know what? And that was a decision I came to. That was a decision I even make today, every day, anyway, daily. Amen. For me to live is Christ starts with offering oneself to Christ. Have you done it? Are you offering yourself to him as alive from the dead to be used so he can work in you and through you? Are you offering yourself to him? Now, if you say yes, wonderful. If you said no, what is keeping you from offering yourself to him? What is keeping you from doing what Paul recommends in Romans 6 there? What? What is it? Fear? You know what? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. The evil one wants us to fear God. Or maybe you think God is conditionally loving you. No, brothers and sisters, he, agape, loves you. Unconditionally. Always loves you. No matter what. Doesn't matter about your behavior. He always loves you. Are you offering yourself to him? Is he the person and place and thing? Are you going to him for your life, brothers and sisters? What's holding you back from doing it? There shouldn't be anything holding you back, because that's what God desires from you. But you know what? This fulfillment of life, this for me to live as Christ, starts with offering ourselves to him as the source, amen, to go to. But there's a second step. Dependence on Christ, or dependence on him. Now, we say, oh yeah, you know, I've heard many messages about trusting and dependence. Yeah, it's true, because it's so important. It's so important, brothers and sisters. Because sometimes, you know, we offer ourselves, but then we have to rest and we wait and we have to trust in what God has said in his scriptures and what the Spirit is leading us in, and we got to see him work, brothers and sisters. Because, you know, Proverbs 3:5, we know this verse, very, very famous. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:9. Indeed, we had the sentence of death on ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So one verse there, Proverbs, trust in the Lord. Corinthians verse, Paul says, we would not trust in ourselves. Amen. You see the point? We offer ourselves to him, but then we need to depend on him and trust in him. Amen. To work. Offering ourselves is letting go. Depending and trusting on him is letting God. Let go. Amen. And let God. Let God work. Amen. He's the source. He's the source of our faith. He's the source of our dependence. And the wait could be short, or the wait could be long. It's in God's timing. You know, this week I had a conversation with a couple that is engaged in a large group, I think, of 30 or 40 people in a group they meet weekly. And there's some slanderous accusations made of this one brother. And there's some slanderous accusations being sent to his girlfriend. And they're getting texts at 11 o'clock at night, anonymous, and all this slanderous speech. And they both were so very upset and thinking, who is doing this? And they called me for counsel. And I said, brother and sister, you can't figure it out. But I can tell you this. If you trust and depend on the Lord, he will make this eventually work it out and reveal the darkness with the light. And it will come to light when who this person is doing this and what damage this person is creating. And he'll make it right. And they both told me, thank you for sharing that. Okay. And because they were so obsessed with trying to figure out who this person was. I said, you can't figure it out. I don't know how you can send an anonymous text, but I guess they were doing that. And there are horrible things being said in those texts. Accusations, slander, terrible things. That's the evil one diverting them away from Christ. You see that? And depending on Christ. And finally, after I shared with them, I spoke with them for half an hour. I said, thank you. I feel much at peace now. I feel much better now. And I know God will work this out. But brothers and sisters, amen, we have to depend. We need to trust, okay? Either you're depending on him or you're not, or something else. You know, godly joys, excitements, and fulfillments and pleasures and delights only can move forward now by offering and dependence. But you know, we do have an evil one that's against us. And spiritual warfare is so real. It is so ramped up, especially where we live in this wonderful state of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned this last week. We were in Florida a couple weeks ago, and we were at outdoor dining, and we sat down at a table, and right next to us to our right was a pastor and his wife from Lancaster, PA, and he was saying how wonderful that their church is and everything, and I said, that's so great, you know, and I shared the struggles we have. You know, we are in New Jersey, and New Jersey really is spiritually dry, but we're here, Lord, you guys, and we're praying that the Lord has some impact in our lives and through us to reach the people of this area. But we are in a spiritual war. You know what? And this is his territory. This is his backyard. But he wants us to to divert the Christian. He's doing a great job diverting the Christian away from Christ as this source, as a place to offer oneself, as a place to depend on. And he's rendering the Christian paralyzed, okay? Not being able to move, in fear, fruitless and joyless. And he's keeping the unbeliever from hearing the truth, amen? The truth of the gospel. Because what only frees a person from the power and penalty of sin is belief in the gospel message, amen? Belief in the gospel message. It's always been that. That's the cure for the ills of this nation and this state and this county, amen? The gospel message needs to go forth, amen? And he tries to keep it from doing it and moving out. We are in a war in the demonic realm, brothers and sisters. Now, what does the word scripture say about the evil one? What does scripture say about the devil? Well, you know what? I'll give you two verses. Two verses. John 8:44. Jesus is saying this. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Murderer and liar. That's his nature. So what's his goal? Is to divert you away from the truth with a lie. That you should offer yourself to Christ as alive from the dead. And he'll offer a lie that, no, don't offer yourself to him. Offer it to something else. Or he'll create a lie and say, don't depend on Christ. He will come through for you. Depend on this. Depend on a relationship. Depend on your money. Depend on your career. Depend on your intellect. Brothers and sisters, that's the war. That's the point. Right there. John, 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are of God, and this, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Now we know, brothers and sisters, God is sovereign and in control of all things, but the evil one controls this world system in a sense, right? God allows it. He controls the world system. So the world system, you know, and people's flesh and unbelievers, he uses to divert one away from offering themselves to him as alive from the dead, as a Christian. He diverts ones from knowing the truth of the scriptures and being saved the first time, understanding the gospel. And he diverts depending on God with all sorts of lies, brothers and sisters. He is a liar from the beginning, brothers and sisters. He will promote a counterfeit fulfillment in life. So many people have tried it. Right? Money, riches, it's a counterfeit life. How many people had it all and said, you know what, their life is a disaster, it's a mess, it's unfulfilling because there's nothing in the riches of man that fills the hole in the heart that only God can fill, amen? No, it's a counterfeit. He's promoting for me to live is me, not for me to live is Christ. Brothers and sisters, are you depending on Christ? Are you depending on him? And if you are, that is wonderful. But if you're not, my question for you this morning is, what is keeping you from depending on him? What is keeping you from depending and trusting in him? Do you think he's undependable? Brothers and sisters, God is not undependable. He is the source of life. He is the God of the universe. Christ will give you the fulfillment of your hearts, and the desires of your hearts. Amen, brothers and sisters. He will do it. Third step to the overflow is this. The overflow of Christ. Amen. John 4:14 says, this is a woman at the well episode, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. You know that conversation, wonderful verses about the woman at the well, and Jesus is encountering this woman, right? And he knows her whole life story. He knows all the men she's married, and one she's with is not married, right? And he's basically saying, you know, physically drinking water is never going to fulfill. You need something. You need spiritual water, amen? And he's saying here that this water I'm going to give you, which is spiritual life, is a well of water springing up to eternal life. So what is Jesus saying here? That this life His life in us will flow through us like water from a well. So this fulfillment in life and living life to the fullest, and for me to live is Christ, really the result and outpouring of that is Christ flowing through us. Amen? His life flowing through us like water in a stream, like water on your faucet in your house. Okay? Easily flowing through you, working in you and flowing through you. But there has to be consistency, brothers and sisters, in you offering and depending. And the more consistency there is there, there's more outflowing. Amen. Christ will flow through you and express himself through you to the world. And that's an exciting way to live the Christian life. That is an exciting way to live and go on your spiritual journey in this life. That's fulfilling life to the fullest, amen. That's experiencing life to the fullest, amen. It's easy and it's flowing and it doesn't take effort. It comes naturally, amen, when we offer and depend and let him flow through us, amen. Very simple. You know what? This is like water from a well springing up, amen. You know, springing up and overflowing. And the ultimate expression of that is this, love. You know what? When we understand Christ's love for us, when we understand he died for us because he loved us, when we understand Christ in us and Christ is love, we express his love. And people see that in us, brothers and sisters. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Amen? We love because he first loved us. Christ loves us, and his love flows through us. Amen? When we allow it to. Amen? When we offer ourselves to him as life from the dead. Amen? We depend and trust in him, amen. When we let him work in our lives, amen. When we give control of our lives to him, amen. That love just pours out of us. Pours out of us just in a spiritual way. People see it. And then they say, why are you such a, something different about you. Why are you such a loving person, amen? They sense it. They see it. The world can see it in you, amen. Why do you have joy? Why do you have hope? Why do you express Christ in that way? Because you know what, brothers and sisters? I live in this way. For me to live is Christ. And that guarantees living life to the fullest. And that guarantees an expression of Christ infinitely in all kinds of ways, resulting in the highest way, love. Agape love, his love to us and through us. Amen? The world will notice Christ in you, and Christ overflowing through you. That's so wonderful. That's so key. That's so unbelievably powerful. Amen? But we need to say why. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your heart, set apart Christ as the Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Do this with gentleness and respect. You know what? What's the reason you have it? Because you have Jesus Christ. Amen? Tell people. The world needs, you know, especially today, with this cancel culture, and everybody's blaming everybody for all their faults and everything. No, but it's just the answer to all this really comes down to the gospel message to be preached and received. Amen? And forgiveness. Amen? And moving forward and telling people, Christ loves you. He'll fill the hole in your heart. Your needs are met in him. Amen. And for me to live is Christ. And you have a fulfilling life with Christ. Amen. It's all about Christ. Amen. It's all about him. Depend on him. Offer yourself to him. Let him flow through you. What a wonderful life you will have. And you would not be blaming other people for your circumstances, brothers and sisters. You'd be forgiving. And you'd be accepting things. Even though they might have been terrible that happened to you, you'd be accepting things and say, you know what? God knows. He's in control. I give my life to him. I'm moving forward in a fulfilling way, loving people for the kingdom. Amen. What a great, great fulfillment in life. Godly desires. His desires are your desires. Amen. But are you overflowing with Christ? Are you overflowing with him? And what? And if you're not, if you are, great. If you're not, what's keeping you from overflowing? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from saying, God, work through me? What's holding you back? You still want to control? Brothers and sisters, you can't control. You can't control your life. Give your life to him. Let him work in you and through you. And he will work through you in wonderful, miraculous ways. Amen. For the kingdom. Amen. Amen. So in conclusion, in conclusion, living life to the fullest. We all want it. As a believer, it is guaranteed. Okay? As a believer, it is guaranteed what we believe in and adhere to, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. And that is not serving from self. That is not me attempting to become Christ-like. That is not asking God to help my fleshly choices. No, it's not. It's offering myself to Him to be used as alive from the dead. It's offering myself to be used in a lot, being alive from the dead. Amen? It's depending and waiting on Him to work in my life, in my circumstances, and through me. Amen? It's trusting. It's letting go and letting Him do it in His timing, not rushing His timing, not trying to subvert Him. You know, I just thought of Abraham, gave him the promise for have a son, for heir, and he bypassed that and tried to and didn't believe. No, and he had a child with Hagar instead of having it with Sarah, Isaac. Amen. What he had was God fulfilled that promise. But we do the same. We try to bypass the promise. We try to cut short what God says in our timing, and that creates even more issues. Don't do that. Amen. Dependence on Him. And then when we do, He overflows through us like water from a stream, like water springing up from a well. Amen? And the ultimate expression of that is love. You love. He loves you. We understand it. And His love pours through us. It's our being. And people sense it. Amen? That, brothers and sisters, is a fulfilling life. That, brothers and sisters, is living life to the fullest when we understand for me to live is Christ. Amen? Nothing should be holding you back from doing and making that a priority in your life, brothers and sisters. That's an exciting way to live. Don't be sidetracked by the evil one. Don't be diverted by the evil one to think there's other ways. There is no other way. I'm so thankful for this time. You know, and I'm going to close this in prayer now, and we will see you next time. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, so much for this wonderful verse from Paul. For me to live is Christ. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we just cut through all the lies the evil one has interjected into our minds over the years, cut right to it. And I pray we would just rest and stand in and believe that offering ourselves and dependence on you and your overflow through us is for me to live as Christ. That is the key. Those are the steps. That is the way. I thank you so much for this time. In Jesus' precious, precious name.